association with Who1.co.uk presents the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who Podcast.
Hello and welcome to the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who Podcast number 108. And with me is Kirby Bartlett Sloan.
Hello.
Robert Haynes.
Hello.
Surprisingly, Ben Shoveler.
I'm at work.
Yeah,
I'm not really.
And let me introduce Sandro.
Hello, I should warn you, I am currently eating.
Don't worry,
I'm currently naked.
Occupational
I'm
hazard
eating
on...
too, fancy that.
No, it's like, there's an occupational hazard on this show is eating, because if Alicia's here, she's usually eating pizza. Ben's usually munching on some awful concoction.
So shall I tell you why I'm here today?
Yeah, go on.
Because obviously, last week, the big announcement was, hey, I'm starting work. And the big announcement today is, yeah, I got sacked. No, I didn't. I went this morning at 8 o'clock. I'm already home. No, I found out last week on Friday that the first day of my new job is my day off. That's pretty good.
How does that fall in with next week?
No idea. Right. I've only got this week's schedule, which is Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. Right. And then next week, it'll be some days... And
Sunday.
Not but whether it be Monday, I don't know. I've got no idea. I've got Sunday off, so I'll probably be working Monday next week. So make the most of me while I'm here.
Okay, I will. Now, I had this plan of sending the charts, because you know the person that interrupts the charts the most?
Oh, yeah.
Mr. Robert Haynes. I thought the only way that's stopping him from interrupting the charts was actually send him the charts to read out, but I forgot. So no, I didn't.
All right.
Sorry.
Okay. I'm disappointed now.
I've got to email them now, Adam. I'm online. You can tell that because I'm talking to you.
I know, but I'm worried because they're on the machine I'm recording with, which could cause problems.
Can I make it up then?
No.
So I just read out last week's chart and change a few bits?
No. Yeah.
I mean, yeah. No.
Oh, yeah.
You can make us number one and you can get the...
No, I didn't spend 2 hours compiling the bin of things to actually make it up. No, sorry, otherwise that would have only taken me 5 minutes, and I wouldn't have been up to about 11:30 last night doing it. Right.
Well, if you didn't spend 2 hours doing it, it doesn't matter then. We might as well make it up.
Yeah, no, I shall do the charts this week.
Oh, whatever.
Because I have them here. Are we ready?
Number interruptions. Hell yeah.
Number 30.
Now you're going to know it's like
Oh, stop
me.
It.
Cue the music.
I am recording my audio on a separate track, so I can actually completely remove all your interruptions anyway. Number 30.
No, you can't.
Number 30 is a new entry for Voyagers in the TARDIS.
Goody, that's my show.
Oh, it's great. Great, sir. That was fantastic.
That was handy then. Number 29, down one, The Cultum Collective.
That's
number
right.
28, a new entry for...
Don't get involved in cults.
Be quiet. Under the Miniscope. Number 27.
Ah, Carnival of Monsters.
Thank you. No, it's called Under the Miniscope. Anyway,
That was in the Carnival of Monsters, yes. The miniscope.
Yes, thank you, Robert. Number 27. Yes, thank you. Down one, The Whostorian. Number 26. Up one, Future Time Lord. Number
20. Is he lacking something this week?
Yeah, it's lacking you, but you're still there. Number 25, a re-entry for Arrow of Time. Number 24, a re-entry for Madman in a Box. Number 23, up two for the Sonic Toolbox. Number 22, re-entry for Oncoming Storm. Number 21, down one, Ian Todd's World of Podcasts, and into the big top 20, and up three for Travelling the Vortex. Number 19, a re-entry for Articles of the Shadow Proclamation. Number 18, down one, bigger on the inside. What a good show that is. Number 16, no, 17 even.
17.
Yep, up one. Earth Station 1, just make sure you're listening. Number 16, non-mover, two-minute Time Lord. Number 15, a re-entry for Who is the Man? And he's not even here to listen to that, which is disgraceful, really, isn't it? Number 14.
Worst podcast on the list.
Number 14. Down one. Bad Wilf. Number 13. Re-entry for Staggering Stories. Number 12. Re-entry. Crinoid Podcast. Notice I said it right.
Yeah, you said it right.
The 11. Non-mover. Doctor Who. Who's he? Number 10. Is
I don't
top
know.
10.
Who is he?
Shush, we're into the big top 10 now. Number 10. Down three. The Pharos Project.
And we've gone up.
Number 9, non-mover for mostly harmless cutaway. Number 8, non-mover, the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who podcast.
Oh, no.
Yay!
Number 7, up a down 2 for The Memory Cheats. number six. And exactly. Down to for Impossible Podcasts. And into the top five, we have a re-entry for Flashing Blade at number five. Number four, a re-entry for the Ood cast. Number three, Non-Mover, the DWO Who cast. Number two, re-entry, Doctor Who, Podshock. And with a Non-Mover at number one, it has to be the Doctor Who podcast. And no, and it's, I suppose they must have known where you weren't on the show this week. They wouldn't release a show because it's pointless.
Yeah.
And that concludes the charts.
Disappointing, though.
For this
disappointing.
Week. Disappointing. What? What? The no hap?
Yeah.
I haven't finished yet. Ha- Penis control. This week.
Don't nick other enough. People's gags. That's the bottom line.
No, I thought that's how you're supposed to pronounce it.
No, you've got the inflection wrong. You've got the inflection. Adam, you've got the inflection wrong on the penis.
Are you saying? So you've got to do the start of the show, go to the hat, then do the whole podcast and say penis patrol right at the end of it.
Don't be so crude.
I've got some audio feedback.
Hello, Twenty McMike Podcast. This is Ian Kirk.
Hello,
School
Kirk.
Reunion
Hello,
by Toby Whithouse. We have the return of Sarah Jane Smith and K-9.
Who?
In modern Doctor Who, Mickey is often sat in front of a computer screen gathering information, as he was at the beginning of this story. In Classic Who, K-9 was frequently connected to a computer system to gather information, so Mickey is right that he has replaced a tin dog. Mickey was a bit out of place in a crisis, and still became a member of the TARDIS crew. He later became a soldier fighting the Sontarans. This parallels the character development of Rory. It was a bit odd that the Doctor was allowed to repair K-9 on a cafe table. The Cretan CGI was quite good, and they were reminiscent of the creatures from Father's Day.
Yeah,
the Doctor seems to almost say he loves Sarah Jane, but stops. He would do the same for Rose's departure. Anthony Head was the headmaster and very creepy. Red Dwarf had a robot character called Crichton, which sounds a bit like K-10. Bye for now.
Thank you, Ian. And yes, I didn't think of the food hygiene issues. I can't speak. I didn't think of the food hygiene issues. Oh, I'm not going to bother saying it now. I failed three times.
Food hygiene
issues?
Yes, involved in fixing K-9 on a cafe table.
Yeah, you can't have dogs on tables.
No, apparently not.
And didn't they sort of question, what is that?
I don't know, mate. I don't know about that last statement, because when I used to work in a nightclub, I had plenty of dogs on tables, but that's a different story.
Oh, Ben.
But anyway.
Oh, that's nasty, Ben.
I'm trying to... Who's snoring?
Not me.
Where's Reese? If anyone sees Reese pop up... Don't you? Thank you. Oh, for God's sake. if anyone sees Reese appear, let me know, because I'm busy doing lots of other things all at the same time. I think women call it multitasking. I call it being a...
Multitasking.
Yeah. I got some written feedback from somebody called Ewan McLeod. He says, just sending in a quick email to wish Ben good luck in his new job. It's a shame... It's a shame he will no longer be a regular commentator on the Podgram, especially as you are only... just getting into his beloved RTD era.
Oh, yes.
Ewan McLeod.
It's a shame I'm not here.
Yes.
That's right.
And from Charles Gears, he says...
Chuck.
Yeah, him. Hello, everybody. I am not even going to try and guess who's there. Very good.
Me.
Very wise. Obviously a regular listener to the show. I noticed you are not reviewing Season 2 TARDISodes. This is because they did... Is it because they... did not appear on the DVDs. So I'm not quite sure what they are, to be honest with you. He did sort of enlighten me, but then he gave me a link on YouTube to stuff that looked like I'd already seen at the prequel part before the pre-title sequence. Not sure.
Why don't you put those links on the show notes? Because I think I saw them, but they're definitely not on the DVDs.
No, I don't even know what they are. He went on to say the TARDISodes were several-minute-long prequels to each episode done for Series 2. I think they were originally done as mobile phone downloads.
Mm.
For some unexplained reason...
Were they under 20 megabytes?
Probably not. Very funny. For some unexplained reason, they were not included on the Series 2 box set. This is a link to a YouTube channel.
Yeah, they often did stuff like that.
If I can remember, Kirby... And you know what my memory's like? I will try and put a link to them on the show notes.
Thanks, Adam, for the show notes last week.
Yeah, thanks, Robert, for the earful of food.
Sorry.
Right, Ian Kirk. Well, I've done him. Oh, that's
if
it.
Your
then.
Memory, Adam. If your memory isn't that good, have you been affected by the mind robber?
Oh, we are going to miss your wit. Right. Right, is he there yet? Where's Reese? I've got all sorts of things planned for Reese today, and he's let me down.
He's probably in the toilet after the Indian restaurant.
Probably. Right. I got some notes. I've done some notes this week, proper notes.
Yay!
One reason.
F-sharp, C minor, and J sharp.
No, one reason, because I actually really like this episode. I felt quite enthusiastic about writing said notes. I'm also in trouble with the wife, who wanted me to, instead of doing podcasting today, edit the wedding DVDs I've got to edit before this coming weekend. So
Protect your laptop so that doesn't...
Right, I need it. She realises I need the laptop for actually edit, for compiling title sequences. And then I just moved her on from one woman, was a woman actually, or up to the next customer-wise, and she said, Argos are doing an offer where buy now, pay next year. And then I said, well, are you trying to imply I should buy the Macintosh I need for editing now? And she said, yes. So...
really?
Yes. I currently edit on a DVD recorder, which is really good. It's a Sony. It's totally compatible with all the equipment I've got, and it's really good. But it's not as good as it would if I had a nice Mac to edit with. So we're looking into that.
Go for it.
No, that's what I'm hoping to do. Might be quite good for Skyping as well, funny enough.
Expensive.
Probably. Yeah. Well, somebody said about reconditioned Macs, which are also just as good as brand new ones. But Argos, pay next year offer, it might be, and it's interest-free credit as well. So. Considering it. Right.
Don't do it. Don't do it.
Well, it'll be up to Deb, but that'll be her fault if it all goes pear-shaped.
Okay, do it. That's fine, then. Go for it. That's fine.
As long as you can blame somebody else.
Yeah, well, it's the only way it can be. Anyway, right. My notes go as follows. Has anybody else done any notes, by the way?
Yes.
Have you?
Yes, I've got notes.
Wikipedia.
You've got notes, right? Sandro, Robert got notes. Right, Kirby, got any notes?
No, of course not. But I've seen this episode probably 20, 30 times. So.
I'm just preparing myself because every time I get to a part of my notes, one of you say, I've missed something.
You've missed something.
Well, you have.
Have I?
Yeah.
Yes.
God.
You always do.
Well, I apologize in advance. And here we go. King Outer from Merlin. No, Uta, sorry. Queen Uta from Merlin. That's the headmaster.
Oh, that's where I saw him before. Yeah. So, he looks familiar. Yes.
So I guess I need to watch Merlin one of these days.
You do. It's really good. But the interesting thing on the subject of Merlin and King Uther is that in the next episode...
Uther.
Yeah, Uther. You know, Uther. Yeah, him. But then the next episode is the lady who plays Guinevere. She's in with the next episode. I saw it in the prequel for next year. But anyway, back to this episode. He's the headmaster of the school, and he takes a naughty little girl into his office and eats her.
Yeah.
And I wondered how they got away with that in the synopsis.
I know. Because if you think about it, it's pretty nasty.
So Russell T. Davies is sat around his table of writers, etc., and saying, and here we go, this is what happens. And he says those lines, and they all look at him and go, oh my God, what time's this going at? But anyway... The Doctor has become a schoolteacher. He uses the word...
You missed something.
Oh, for God's sake. Yeah, the title sequence. I'm not worried about the titles. It's on every blooming week.
In the commentary, they mentioned that the school walls are painted the exact same green that they used for the CSL.
Yeah, but I'll leave you to the commentary side of things. I was too busy watching and listening to the actual things.
So they said that they can remove the whole school by putting something else in it, really.
That's right.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, thank you for that. Anyway,
Slovene Green.
Thank you. The Doctor has been coming to. I've done that
and
bit.
Something else, Adam.
Yes.
This is quite unique in a story in that it actually starts after the, you know, usually they arrive and then they get involved in the action, but this time they're already in the action from the get go. You know, with Rose in the cafeteria.
Okay.
Doctor already a teacher, so that's something a bit different.
Yeah, very good, yes. Well spotted. Anyway, he uses the word correctamundo, and he then says a word I've never used before and hopefully never will again.
Yeah.
Now, I put that in my notes because I knew if I didn't mention it, you'd mention it.
Okay. My geek daughter is taking physics this year,
yes.
And every time she says physics, I tend to go, physics, 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 physics.
Oh, somebody should say that. At work, we have a lovely young lady who's one of our little newbies at work, and her name's Philippa, and I can't stop calling her Flipper. It's terrible. So, Philippa's out there. I do apologise. I just have this thing of I can't resist the temptation to call her Flipper.
Did she listen to the podcast?
No. Anyway, right. There's an absurdly clever little boy in the class.
Oh, me.
Milo.
Oh, sorry.
Well, you know the name.
Milo.
Yeah, but he's very, very clever because the doctor asks him all sorts of clever mathematical questions, which he sort of reels off the answers to. The doctor then...
They're not just mathematical. There are physics questions.
Yeah, fair enough. But he answers them very, very
speed of light.
Abruptly. The doctor then cues, and I've spelt cues wrong, but it doesn't matter because this is an audio presentation. Anyway, cues for lunch, and Rose does not appear happy to be working as a dinner lady. I quite like the expression on her face.
And it's so unsanitary that her hair hangs out.
Yes.
At that way.
Yes, indeed.
What did you say, Sandra? The bangs.
Indeed.
I just said I'm sure Ben does like thou. Never mind. It's not important.
It would have been if actually been able to get it in to start off with, but never mind. Right. That's what she said. Right. Where'd it go up to? Oh yeah. So they are undercover after a tip off from the suddenly less idiotic Mickey. So why Mickey's sort of monitoring what's going on at this school, I do not know.
He's sort of settled into a proper sort of Mickey, hasn't he?
Yeah. There seems to be something sinister about the chips. And then a spooky teacher.
Mickey's
chips
still
again, yeah.
Tapping.
Sorry. Yeah, chips are a constant theme in Doctor Who, the first two series, aren't they? And notice we can use the word series with Reese not being here.
Well, we can use the word series
it's
anyway.
Season.
Oh, no.
Oh, no, there you go.
Another Australian.
A Reese clone.
Gold.
Mickey is tapping into the Torchwood files.
Oh, is he?
Yeah.
I've got a note at this part.
Well, that's what made me think about this episode. The way they sort of apply themselves to the situation is very sort of Torchwood-y. I mean, if they never made it as a Doctor Who episode, this could have been an episode of Torchwood to a certain degree. Because it just would fit as a Torchwood story. That's what I think.
Jack could be the teacher, couldn't he?
Yeah. Gwen could have been the teacher, or
Gwen could have been the dinner lady,
and they still could have had Sarah Jane in it. Although they wouldn't have had the lovely scenes in which they reunited, or they might sort of be able to say, "Well, we met the Doctor, etc." Anyway, moving back.
Add something at this point.
You can.
Yeah. No.
When Rose and Mickey are talking, that part. When you go to Mickey's side, there's somebody sitting like pretty much right next to him.
Yeah.
It's kind of like, yeah. I didn't get that. It really annoyed me when I was watching that scene.
No, I didn't get that either.
Oh, there is. Who is that?
Ooh. Is there somebody we should recognise?
Probably not.
No, okay.
Who's Jackie? Maybe Jackie has all of a sudden just dyed her hair.
We never know. So the spooky teacher takes a couple of children away for extra class.
You missed something.
What a surprise!
The krillotane oil and the exploding of the...
I was coming to that somewhere, I think. Anyway.
Well, it's
that's
you
what
went
I said.
On to the scene afterwards.
No. I said there's something... I sort of brought it down to there's something... There seems to be something sinister about the chips. That's all encompassed in that sentence, surely, I think. Possibly. Maybe not. Anyway, the spooky teacher takes a couple of children away for extra class. Rose observes some suspicious vat carrying in the kitchen.
Oh, okay. Okay.
I have some suspicious vat carrying. It's in my stomach. Oh, that, not fat, sorry.
Yeah, me too, unfortunately. As my daughter keeps telling me to go on a diet. I quite like my girth, actually. It comes in handy. It fills my shirts up. Anyway. Thank you, Robert. We can have it back if you like. I'm happy to hand some of it over to you. Anyway, Rosa, blah, 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 I've done that bit. Mickey informs her of recent alien activity by telephone. The vat is dropped I nearly said VAT is dropped there.
That's never happened in this country.
No. And it injures a dinner lady who gets dragged into some little room. And
what percentage is VAT?
VAT is 20% at the moment.
Oh, well, we're only 10% GST here.
GST? What's that then, GST?
Yeah, goods and services tax, which is the same virtually.
I thought it was government.
Oh, I don't know. No, some sort of deviation or digression going on here again. Anyway, the VAT is dropped. Injury lady.
VAT.
Good grief. Yeah, I did. That's true. But anyway, she's dragged into some little room, and Rose just about to call an ambulance, but the woman comes out and says, there's no need. She's done it before or something like that. Well,
she does that.
Yeah, she does that. That's it, yeah.
Explodes.
Yeah. The children are then seen to be operating computers very fast, which is basically what they do now anyway, really. They can do that.
I love those ancient monitors.
You do?
Oh, yeah.
Well, there was a big screen which the doctor threw something at. Well,
threw a chair.
A plasma screen of some variety, which was basically a bit of glass hanging from the ceiling with it, something which was very sort of modern and up-to-date. Yeah. Excuse me. The headmaster is chatting with a familiar lady to Doctor Who fans, Miss Smith. And I love these. I do love these scenes. What's the matter, Kirby?
Oh, just Sarah Jane.
Are you gushing?
She was the first companion I ever saw, because the first story I ever saw was Hand of Fear, Eldrad Must Live.
Must he? Okay. And, if you say so.
And it was so disappointing, because I had gotten into Doctor Who, I decided to sit down and watch an episode, a story, and the companion, which I loved, left at the end of the story. I'm going, wait a second.
Yeah. But there's quite a lot of references to that. Sorry,
that
Sandra.
Was exactly, pretty much exactly where it, like, how I got into Doctor Who with this episode. Cause
so this is your first one, is it? One. Excellent.
Yeah.
So no wonder
you want to watch it. What was it like watching a story with a classic character and not knowing anything about her?
Very, very confusing.
But say this is the one that got you into the show?
I guess, because I saw the trailer at the end of this for the next one.
Yeah.
And I saw the next one, and that pretty much said, yeah, I'm going to keep watching this. It's a great show. And, yeah.
So, as far as the Sarah Jane character goes, did it sort of make you want to do a bit of research on that character, or did you just sort of say, well, that's one episode, that one's out of the way? Did it make you think, was this really somebody that Doctors travel with in the past?
I went and saw past Tom Baker episodes after this one. Well, yeah.
Oh,
and
cool. Excellent.
Yeah.
Anyway, the Doctor
they
is...
Did, they, did,
yeah.
They did address that in the commentary, too. They were wondering whether... they said there was enough to sort of to... if people didn't know who she was, they would guess.
Yeah, so, yeah. No, it was very well written by our friend of the show, Toby Whithouse. The Doctor is chatting about goings-on at the school in the staff room. Two staff. The Doctor replaced a teacher who mysteriously won the lottery after never having played before, finding a ticket.
So this is the first time that we ever saw that happen in the show.
Yeah, because obviously it happened once more, at least, didn't it, with Donna, I think. Right. Sarah Jane Smith.
It's happened several times.
Has it?
Yeah.
No. I can only think
name
of
them, Kirby. Name them.
Yeah, go on, Kirby.
I don't know.
You don't know.
I could read.
Well, you brought it up.
That's I know very unlike you to back up a statement without some evidence.
Yeah.
I know it's more than just the Donna one.
Okay. Well, we'll have to. We'll find out as we watch the episodes, and when it happens, you can flag it up. Meanwhile. Sarah Jane Smith is introduced to the staff and the Doctor. He goes all gooey-eyed and a bit gushy, like you did, in fact, a few moments ago. Kirby.
Not the Doctor. It's not the Doctor, it's John Smith.
Yeah, I know. He introduces himself as John Smith as he chats with her, and he's all sort of smiley and a bit like a
weird
sort of child. Really strange.
You know what?
Yes?
In the commentary, he was talking about that, saying he sort of used his... gushing when, because he obviously grown up with Doctor Who like us.
Yeah.
And when they did the read through, he sort of brought that to that scene because he felt like he could use it to you know, that meeting his sort of, well, someone he's grown up watching and admired so much.
Yeah.
So use that towards the scene.
Yeah, and it worked really well. Yeah, so she starts asking him questions about the school and that during this conversation. And then a chubby child walks in on some gruesome eating noises and sees a bat.
Kenny!
Yeah, him. Kenny, yes. I didn't get his name until the end for some reason. And he sees a bat-like alien underneath the desk, but when the alien stands up, it's one of the teachers who does a strange thing with his neck.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sarah Jane...
I thought that was pretty good, though.
Oh, yeah.
It was a pretty good bit of...
Oh, yeah, it was very, very well done, yes. Sarah Jane is poking around at night, as are the Doctor, Mickey and Rose, and they split up, and then Mickey goes off in one direction and sort of comes back and after saying, oh, I know, I know what I'm doing here, sort of thing. He says he's an expert of this sort of thing, and then he comes back and said, where's the maths department?
They use that line quite a lot in this episode, because I was watching the like up to the Cybermen story, and he does that as well in that story as well, which is pretty
where's the maths department? He says, where's the maths department? I see, sorry. Yes. Like, okay.
That type of, I know what I'm doing, I'm going to go this way, it's the wrong way, I'm going to go that way.
Yes.
Yeah. He does. He also does that in Boomtown as well, I'm pretty sure.
Really?
I think so. Oh. Unless that was Captain Jack. Or maybe I'm just getting my episodes mixed up again.
No. Oh, no, I think there was one instance of Captain Jack doing something similar to that, but I think Mickey did it as well.
I think when they arrived in their building, remember?
Yes, when they were just about to go on their... Yeah, they were just about to go on their mission to try to capture her. Yeah. Meanwhile, Rose takes a sample of the mysterious cooking oil from the vat. Yeah. She's able to get into this deadlock vat. Well, obviously, it wasn't deadlocked at that stage.
No.
Sarah stumbles across the TARDIS when follows one of my favourite scenes from the whole 48 and a half years of Doctor Who.
Can I ask something about the TARDIS? Did they actually have to remove the lamp to fit it where it was?
I don't know. Does it matter?
Does it look like there wouldn't have been enough room for the lamp on top?
Oh, well.
I'm supposed to be the pedant.
Sorry, Kirby.
No, that doesn't bother me. I think it rather overshadows a superb scene. Anybody else want to gush about the scene that I haven't written any notes about? Because it just sort of speaks to itself.
I'll sometimes go back and just watch that scene.
They did play that scene a lot when Elizabeth Sladen died, didn't they? It was quite a lot of programs, tribute programs.
At the time of watching this episode, I just thought, what a pointless scene, but now that I know what her past is, it's definitely a very good scene. Probably one of the best ones in the whole episode.
But even if you'd sort of never known Sarah Jane as a character, it reminds me a little bit of when the Doctor meets River Song, because we didn't know who River Song was, and yet she's had a history with the Doctor, even though it's a sort of topsy-turvy, backwardy sort of history. The Doctor doesn't know her. We don't know her, yet she knows the Doctor, and it's a sort of that sort of thing. It must have been like that if you've not known who Sarah Jane is, you're a new fan of the show. You know, it might be just a character they've bought in that might have had a relationship with the Doctor, but we've never seen, you know.
Yeah.
But anyway, she is introduced to Rose, and then the bitching immediately starts. I thought it was a bit rude of Rose. They sort of have that little sort of period of time where people sort of just say, hello, hello. They sort of went straight in for the bitching.
I didn't really like that, though, the bitching part. I mean, although it was well done, I just didn't think it sat very right.
No, it was okay. I mean, it's just later on in the show, I think it was fine. It's just that immediate bitching.
Which reminded me of something, yeah. Did you?
I'll just remind myself that when the Doctor's talking to Sarah, it seems, you know, he's talking about they're all dead, Sarah, they're all died. And like Sarah Jane is aware of the Time War. I don't know.
Yeah.
That's how I'm feeling.
That's
got.
Weird.
He thinks she should be aware of the Time War, maybe. I don't know.
I thought she was, though, the way she.
Yeah, that's just the impression I got from watching that.
Now, I did too.
You brought up Liz Sladen dying this coming Thursday, it'll be 1 year.
Really?
Oh, that's already.
Quick, have a party. Oh, wait, no, sorry.
Ben, I bet you didn't get a chance to watch this episode, did you?
If you remember, if you'd listened to last week's podcast, Adam, I told you I watched it last week.
Yeah, I'm just for the benefit of listeners that weren't listening to
last
week's
podcast. Don't you listen.
I do, yes, obviously, because I have to edit the blimmin' thing. But
well, not very well, clearly. I wonder if I can get away with saying b**ks again.
Anyway, Mickey, he then says, the missus and the ex, welcome to every man's worst nightmare.
Love that line.
And the way he puts his hand on his, over his sort of shoulder and stuff is it's quite funny.
Yeah.
They discover giant bats hanging from the ceiling of the headmaster's office.
Apparently, they sort of couldn't get it. Well, they didn't sort of keep track of how many they're supposed to have.
Right. Because there's already one that's been exploded by this point, and yet if you count them, there's...
Because they run down the numbers, don't they? How many teachers and how many dinner ladies.
Well, that was clearly put in for the pedants.
Apparently, they didn't... they had a lot more of the counting down that was removed from the script.
Well, also a thing that reminded me of, might to make Ben think, was that it was a little bit like the silence hanging from the ceilings in... later episodes of...
And who wrote that and copied the whole idea, right?
Oh, I can't think. No, it's just it's gone.
Was it Stephen Moffat?
No fat.
Anyway, at this point, for some reason, they all run out of the school. But the doctor says he needs the TARDIS to analyse something. But Sarah Jane says she has something to show him. She undoes her blouse. Woo! Where she happens to be keeping the keys to wherever she's keeping K-9. While the doctor is all gooey-eyed over K-9, they're being watched from the sort of some sort of building, but big roof sort of area. Mickey,
I was having the same reaction when watching this when K-9 showed up.
Yeah,
I just loved K-9.
Oh yeah,
I did.
I've got him.
Okay, and Sandra, what about you and the silly thin dog?
Yeah, very good question.
Yeah.
I thought it was just fun. I thought, oh, good, some comedy elements in this episode. Besides for Mickey, of course.
But did you think what did you think of K-9 as a sort of, I don't know, what you call it, a character, prop?
Companion?
Yeah.
Companion.
Didn't really care. I thought, hey, it's Doctor Who.
Okay.
But you went back and got some more information about K-9 and maybe went... And saw the invisible enemy and things like that.
How do you think that the classic series K-9 compares with the current? Have you watched K-9 in Sarah Jane Adventures at all?
I've seen Sarah Jane Adventures, saw a couple of episodes of that K-9 TV series, and I didn't like it at all.
Well, nor did I. Yes, I only watched two, and that was it. But it wasn't because of K-9 that I didn't like it. It was because of the actors around them.
If you can film it in Australia, why not set it in Australia?
Yeah, exactly. So that's the point I made last week. Sorry, Ben, what were you going to say?
The question is, why film it in Australia?
Hey!
Anyway.
I'm going to go off and cry.
can I tell you something
about... I'm just trying to cause controversy.
And you're very good at that.
Can I tell you something about K-9's voice?
Yeah, it's done by John Leeson.
Yeah, but he only did it after production. They had... who was it? Phil Collinson... actually got to read some of the lines when they're in the cafe.
Oh, right.
And he just loved doing that.
It would have been so much better if they'd have got Phil Collins to do it.
But did Phil Collinson try to do the K-9 voice, or did he just do it as himself?
No, he just read it out normally, because in Confidential they just had him reading normally. So
yeah, they didn't say how he was doing it.
Okay. Well, Mickey, meanwhile,
I would have been doing
gone on the floor, would you? On down on your knees?
Of course.
Great. Meanwhile, Mickey takes Rose to a cafe for chips again.
Was she down on her knees?
That's all she ever eats is chips. It's like Alicia with her pizzas. to wind her up a little bit about the doctor. Mickey's actually very good in this episode.
Yes. This is the beginning of the fairly decent Mickey.
Yeah. The Doctor repairs K-9 while Sarah Jane asks why she was left behind, and this is where we get a lot of reference to the end of the Hand of Fear, and direct references to it, and of course the Deadly Assassin, because he says that in those days humans weren't allowed, he wasn't allowed to take humans home with him. He didn't mention Gallifrey.
And the funny thing was, is he at the end of Leela's reign, which was the next companion, she gets to go.
Yeah,
strange. They just changed their mind.
They did.
It's Doctor Who. What do you expect? I need to go back and watch some of the early, some of the classic series. Apparently, this is the first time that K-9's voice has hit his light around his eye.
Yes, yes.
Blinks
it's
with
the
his
first
voice.
Time they get it in sync, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, they mentioned that. I noticed that when watching it and thinking, I don't remember that in the old series.
I have to say, I didn't notice that.
No, it used to flash. It was flashing in time, yeah.
Okay.
And
well done.
It's been that way ever since School Reunion.
I never would have noticed that any other way, and I've been watching Doctor Who for a couple of years, as you probably can
and
get.
And something else with K-9, if you notice, you know how in the old series they just draw the laser and they point it whichever way they felt?
Yes.
In this one, his laser actually turns and points.
Yes.
Like it points upwards, which is a bit different from the old series.
Now, this is K-9 Mark III.
Yeah.
Is this the actual prop?
No, the one at the end was. The one at the end was.
Was it?
Yeah.
Okay.
They said Matt Irvine actually got the original prop at the end, and obviously, I guess, got a new outside casing. But
this is quite interesting. Was... K-9 Mark III is the K-9 that was deposited with Sarah at the end of K-9 and Company, and then subsequently appeared briefly in The Five Doctors.
Yes, yeah.
There we go. Right.
Yellow raincoat.
Yes, I'm a font of knowledge when it comes to Doctor Who. K-9...
Well, something that sounds like that, anyway.
K-9 springs to life and soon identifies the bat creatures as Krillitanes. After having some of the gooey stuff sort of put inside him somewhere.
I thought that was yucky.
Looked like honey, didn't it? Going and waiting for a comment about the show notes, not the show notes, the info text or whatever it was that you were... Oh, the commentary.
There's no info text on this.
Commentary,
yeah,
then.
They didn't mention what it was.
I do believe there is a subtitle track, which is the commentary on
these
episodes.
I think that's
because
the girl in the fireplace.
There is no info text, there is no commentary subtitle.
Oh, is there not? I thought
there was. Let me look.
There is commentary subtitle on the classic series DVDs.
Right, but that's classic series.
Okay.
Yes,
a different production group to entertain, which no longer exists.
Yeah. Right, well, see if there's any more subtitle tracks on it when playing it back.
No,
so...
there's just a regular subtitle track of what they're saying.
Okay, fair enough. I stand corrected as per blimmin' usual.
That's standard for the modern
the new series.
Stories.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yoo-hoo!
Meanwhile, Mickey chats with Sarah Jane and soon realizes he is the modern day Tin Dog.
Yes.
That was funny. I like that.
Thus naming another Doctor Who podcast.
Thank you. The Doctor tries to explain to Rose what it is like being a Time Lord and why he has to leave his companions at some stage. But Finch, the headmaster, Krillitane, is listening in with his bat hearing, and Robin swoops down. Sorry. and swoops down. And for some reason. And that was it. They just swooped at them and then flew off.
Can I... I'm pardon me.
Has Reese taught you how to do podcasting?
Your excuse.
yes.
Oh, there you go.
Unfortunately. when the Krillitane, like when you see its sight, you know, like how it, like what it sees and stuff, that just... way it sees is exactly like those Reapers from the Father's Day episode.
Yeah.
Yeah. Also,
mind you, they sort of absorb lots of different races, don't they? Because they weren't bat-like last time.
No.
I was just going to say, bats see by sonar, bit like dolphins do. So I was just wondering why they got sight like they do.
But not all bats hear by sonar, only certain species of bat, surely. Oh, no, maybe not.
No, I think that's...
But also there was an effect, when the transformation effect, when they changed from the human form to bat form. That sort of...
I love the shadow bit.
Which has been used in other effects to do with Doctor Who somewhere along the line, but I can't think where.
Come on, Kirby.
It was quite similar, actually, to the effect when Rose destroyed all the Daleks with the time vortex thingamajig that was going in, all the Daleks, all the atoms dispersed. It was a similar sort of effect.
Was that the Genesis arc or whatever it's called?
Something like that. But anyway.
Around that time.
Oh.
Bad Wolf, yes, that's right. Next day at school, the Doctor immediately sets off on his mission. Mickey is told to stay in the car with K-9 while he goes to have a word with Finch, or as we now know him as Brother Lasser.
I ask all you a question? The Krillitanes, were they in another... Were they in a classic
you
episode?
You have definitely been taught by Reese. No, they haven't.
Oh.
Okay, because... because I've got a... They
imagine
were in
them
a,
in old two, though.
Yeah, that'll be...
Yeah, that would have been quite difficult to create, really, wouldn't it?
Yeah,
I got them in a target novelization called Code of the Krillitanes. But...
Oh, really?
Yeah,
I think
that'll
be check the date it was written. I mean, the date it was published. Like,
no, if that's the case, it was published before. What? When? Sorry, when was it?
It was 2010.
No, that
so...
obviously it was written afterwards.
Yeah.
Then.
Yeah.
Rose and Sarah Jane have a heart-to-heart while adjusting the computer system at the school. Of course, Sarah Jane can't use the screwdriver, but Rose can. And they soon make up after having a laugh at the Doctor's expense, just as he walks in the hilarity.
Adam,
yes,
Adam,
what?
Don't you know how they got them to laugh?
No, David Tennant,
David Tennant went to the makeup people and got a moustache drew on him, and he walked in.
Yeah.
So... They were reacting to him when you see their view.
Oh, okay. The next day, the Doctor, he sets off on his mission. Mickey is told to stay in the car. And then the Doctor goes off to have a word with Finch, Brother Lasser. And then the Doctor acts very tough. That was the next bit I was going to say.
That's when he says his name. That's when he says his name in the swimming pool, doesn't
Brother Lasser, yes. And then, that's basically covering that whole scene. Basically, the Doctor sort of doing his tough bit and Brother Lasser doing his tough bit. And the Doctor sort of... Yeah, so that's how I covered that. So that was the swimming pool scene.
Did anybody else at that scene think about the final moments and the first moments in Doctor Who Sherlock Season 1 and 2 with the swimming pool and...
Yes.
The Doctor and...
No, because I don't watch Sherlock, so I'll let you carry on with that
I haven't seen Sherlock yet.
Go on, Kirby.
Excellent.
I'm sure it is.
Yes.
Yeah. I'd love to watch it. I can't wait to get the DVDs. I want to get them.
When I saw that that story in Sherlock, I immediately thought of School Reunion, which obviously Sherlock was several years later.
Yes. Yeah.
Again,
was Sherlock written by again? Who writes Sherlock?
That would be Sir Arthur Conan Doyle. No, sorry. Meanwhile, so I went past the bit where...
back in the target. No.
Yeah. Obviously, the Brother Lasser announces that they're going to begin their mission now and of evil or whatever it is, and the Krillitanes, they need all the teachers. The kids, bar one, are rounded up for a lesson, and the chubby kid, what's his name, Kenny, stays behind while some stuff happens in the computer room.
Kenny does not die.
No, he stays behind.
Yes.
That's what I just said.
Oh, my God, they didn't kill Kenny.
That's right.
Yeah.
I wonder if that's why he was called Kenny. Because they didn't
probably
kill him. Anyway.
I think so, yeah.
Then we get to the scene where...
Hang on. Some sort of code is being sent or created, and the Doctor's sort of working out.
Paradigm.
Yes, that's it. Mickey spots the chubby kid, Kenny, trying to get out of the lock school.
You either skipped over or because of our discussion a few minutes ago, what about that great confrontation where the great conversation where Sarah Jane and Rose finally deal with their issues?
Oh, I said about that bit. That was in the computer room.
But,
and then we talked about the moustache drawn on.
But has anyone actually gone through and figured out which episodes Rose and Sarah Jane are referring to when they're having their antimatter monsters, gas masks, zombies.
Lots of robots, antimatter monsters, mummies, dinosaurs, and the Loch Ness Monster.
Yeah. No.
Really?
I had a fleeting thought about them, but that's about as far as it got.
When I first saw this, I saw it on DVD because I couldn't get it originally. I think it was running on Sci-Fi at the time.
Mm.
But I stopped the DVD and ran it back and figured out which episodes, which stories they were talking about.
Antimatter Monster, I tell you, lots of robots. Well, there's the giant robot. Antimatter Monsters, that was in definitely Master of Dinosaurs,
Robert,
the water.
Robert,
it's Invasion of the Dinosaurs, Loch Ness Monster, and Terror of the Zygons.
I'm glad you garbled that, because that's all it sounded like.
Under the sea.
Oh, still here.
Under the sea.
We haven't heard much from Ben.
I haven't heard much from Reese.
No, the reason you're not hearing much from me is because I kind of like think if I just step back a little bit, then everyone will get used to me not being
No. It's not how it works. Oh. Sorry.
And also, I wanted to be quiet for the clock. Oh, there it is.
Hello, clock.
God.
Hello, clock.
Can you really believe you were saying hello to a blimmin' clock, for God's sake? It's not blimmin' play school, you know. The big hand is pointing to the 12. That means it's something
sure. What do you want from me?
The clock is a regular
annoyance to the show,
ember.
Yes.
To
Magic,
the 20 megabyte Doctor Who podcast.
And so therefore, in the same kind of category as Alicia.
Yeah.
Anyway,
it interrupts every week.
This really shouldn't take so long to get through this synopsis. It really shouldn't. But anyway, where do I go?
I was thinking that about 25 minutes ago.
Mickey spots the chubby kid trying to get out of the lock school. Mickey gets K-9. And it says, because gets K-9 to start working again by tapping it, I don't know, something like that. And it says, do you have an anti-locking device, a drill attachment? K-9 just responds, pardon?
He banged him on the head and apparently
broke
his ears.
I said that, for goodness sake. No, I didn't really, but I just... Anyway. God, Magic, come up here and give me a cuddle. I'm getting distressed now. Magic, come here. Magic, come here. Oh, forget it then.
No, wait a sec. About 6 to 9 months ago, we were all discussing stuff. Yes. This is when we were doing the Robots of Death. You guys were all going on and on about Tannoy.
I heard a cry.
No, you were talking about hearing things being announced over a Tannoy. And I'm reading the subtitles here, and they're referring to a PA system, as they should.
Yes.
So well, why are the subtitles referring to it as a PA, like it should be, instead of a Tannoy?
Because it's got dual meanings. You can use Tannoy, call it Tannoy, you could call it
and
PA.
Tannoy, actually, Tannoy is a trademark. It's not. Yeah. It's a
the other
brand
thing,
name.
The other thing is, PA really stands for Public Address System. If it's not being addressed to the public, then it's not a public address system. It means it's not it's a PA, so it's not a... Oh, you know what I mean. It means it's a Tannoy. If it's to the public, it's a PA. Surely, Ben, you know, you're in that sort of business.
That's right, maybe. That could
stop
be correct.
So pedantic.
What was that noise?
You guys got pedantic on me with Tannoy.
Can I get to the end of this sentence, for God's sake? He says, do you have an anti-locking device, drill attachment? K-9 just responds repeatedly, we are in a car.
Perfect.
Several times. And then he realizes. The doctor discovers...
This is the only car. Mickey the
idiot.
Pardon, Robert?
Did you know that the part that they smashed the car in, they actually built for the production?
No, I didn't.
It was
I do
an
know.
Add-on.
Thank you.
Of course, this is not going to go through.
No, thank you. He discovers that if the code is cracked, the Gorillatanes will have the building blocks of the universe.
No,
a bit like the Legopolis, really.
The chip.
Isn't it a bit like a Legopolis? Sort of
a little bit, yes. There is that element with that. Chip cooking oil has been accelerating the children's ability to calculate things.
I'm going quiet for a minute.
Are you? Why?
Going out
the bag.
The doctor is nearly persuaded to join Brother Lasso with the thought that he could undo the time war, but Sarah Jane makes him see sense. Now, what would have happened if Sarah Jane hadn't been there?
Can I add to that, though?
No, you can't.
Adam, when they were discussing about how they should play that scene, they were saying, well, how far should we make it look like the Doctor's being tempted? But they said he wasn't tempted at all. They just wanted to leave a little bit of doubt in people's minds. But they said he had absolutely no idea. I thought of doing that, going back and sorting things out.
Okay. Thank you.
Reese is online.
About blooming time, honestly.
Okay.
It's disgraceful. I'll let him off his birthday.
How many weeks has he been late?
Oh, I'll have to ask him in a moment.
3 weeks. Is he 17 now?
Yes, he is 17.
Yes, he is.
Yes.
Hello, Reese.
Hello.
And what do you got to say for yourself? This is very, very late. Kirby's going in a minute.
Again.
Were you in the toilet, Reese?
No, I was having a birthday dinner with my family.
so I just got my piano out.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Reese. Happy birthday to you.
That doesn't work when I'm the only one singing along.
Thank you.
That was you.
Pardon? Pardon, Ben?
I said that bloody awful.
So are you.
Happy birthday.
Happy birthday. All that came out as happy birthday.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Good. Good day.
Alright
then,
well, that's good one. Yeah, the doctor discovered cocaine, cooking oil, etc. Blah,
are
blah,
we
blah.
Still going on about school reunion?
Well, yeah, I'm trying to get up, but you might find this surprising to hear that I keep getting interrupted.
No, really?
What?
No,
really?
About me here?
Yeah. Yes.
It's me, Reese. I'm taking up your job for you.
No, unfortunately, Sandro isn't getting a word in, nor is Ben, funny enough. Sandro and Ben are not getting words in edgeways. Which is very surprising, especially for Ben. Ben is using the excuse that he's trying to sort of take a step back to allow people to get a word. What it is you just can't get a word in edgeways. Anyway, right.
Also, what it is that I don't like everyone talking over each other, so when someone else starts talking, I just don't bother.
Cool.
I'm a radio professional, Adam.
I know. Yeah. Maximum defence mode. Maximum defense mode. That's what Canine says when he starts shooting before his batteries start going classically dead.
Dog.
Yes. Oh, let me say that line, you spoilsport. The team escape, and Brother Lasser says, forget the shooty dog thing. I love that line.
Thingy. Yeah. Thingy.
All right. Shooty dog thing.
I wonder if he just forgot his lines and ad-libbed that.
Yeah, maybe.
Can I tell you something?
Yes, you can. You're going to do anyway, so you might as well do. Go on.
Filming was delayed due to asbestos.
Due to Robert interrupting. Oh, no, sorry.
Birthday party.
And it says the scenes in school utilized dozens of children as extras. Mm. Pickup shots were later completed on 7th of September and 8th of September, with filming of the cafe scene delayed due to drunk and disorderly conduct
from Reese Parton.
Yeah, for
ashes, then. They pretended he could really get pissed.
Right, Chubby sets...
That's rude.
Chubby sets off... Sorry, Kenny sets off the fire alarm. I think it was Kenny's elbow that did that, which hurts the ears of the Krillitane. Mickey tries to rescue the children by unplugging the plug, I think. The doctor cannot unlock the deadlock vats, but K9 says that he would not withstand a direct hit from his laser.
For God's sake.
Yes!
There's that very famous scene where all the children are sitting there and they're about to get up and leave, and they're all sitting there with the headphones on, and as they leave, the headphones are completely missing.
Ooh.
Go back and look at it. It's pretty strange once you see it.
Okay. I would not have noticed that, to be honest with you. Well done.
Let me find it.
No, I don't want to know. No, I'll look at it next time. I'll watch it when we review this in about 107 episodes' time.
Tell me, Kirby.
Oh, go on. Then.
I'm finding it. Hang on. Let's see. It's 36. In the 36-minute section. I'll have the exact point in just a second.
Okay. Can I carry on while you find it?
It's right as Mickey pulls the plug. All the kids. All the kids are there with the headphones, and then they get up, and the headphones are completely off their heads.
Oh,
it's 36:28.
Okay, well done.
How come he didn't just turn the switch off before he pulled the plugs out?
Be quiet.
Tell me.
Mickey unplugged.
And being pedantic.
Evidently.
Being pedantic. Would you have that? Would you have all that plugged into one socket?
No, you wouldn't, but never mind.
I know.
Ridiculous. No.
You would in a TV show where you're having a little
fun. I did think that at school that wouldn't pass health and safety. You'd have it plugged in one socket like that. What?
Okay, good. My microphone is working.
Yes, it's just you're never going to get a word in. But carry on.
I thought you sat on something for a second there. Ow.
Were you going to say something then, Sandro, or just wanted to test your microphone?
I was just checking if my microphones work, because all of a sudden Skype just said that I didn't have any.
Oh, okay.
So I don't know.
No, it's still working. Mickey unplugs. I've done that bit. Anyway, all the kids escape. K-9 informs the Doctor that he must sacrifice himself. He didn't use those words, but basically what he's saying. A very moving scene in which the Doctor says goodbye to his, well, actually Sarah Jane's version of K-9.
It's kind of stupid when you think about it, though.
The Doctor has to drag Sarah Jane away because Sarah Jane wanted to go in and where's K-9? And, yeah, very moving. Good dog, I think he says to him. Yes, affirmative, Master.
Affirmative.
Yes. Boom! And everyone cheers. Kenny.
Same to you.
Kenny becomes very popular for blowing up the school. Yeah. Even though it wasn't him that did it.
Oh, my God. Kenny killed the school.
Yeah, that's
funny. Then there's
a charged.
Then a Kenny, minute, nearly Kenny, finally at the Kenny. End of this. Be quiet. Finally at the end of this, a load of notes. It says... Then there's a lovely scene inside the TARDIS. Sarah Jane has offered a place on board. She declines, but Mickey asks if he can come instead. What now?
Say David Huddersmith in the TARDIS.
I was getting to that bit! Good grief!
Sarah Jane does a
classic...
No,
you did miss 1 point.
Sarah Jane does a classic Second Doctor line. You've redecorated.
I don't like it.
But she doesn't say, doctors. I don't like it.
I don't like it.
Fair enough. She declines, and Mickey asks if he can come on board instead.
Can I mention something first? You know how in the new series they actually show you, when they open the TARDIS door, you can see the background of the TARDIS inside?
Yeah.
In this...
Sometimes.
The way they framed it, you can actually see that it's just a backboard... Because you can see the floor. Here. And I thought, couldn't they have framed it with the shrubs in front of it to sort of hide the fact that it's just a backboard?
Very good point. I did actually spot that myself.
Technically speaking, I think that they used to just put a board inside it, but in the most recent series, they've certainly used green screen technology to make sure that the image inside the TARDIS looks as realistic as possible.
Hell, quite.
Can I get to the end of these notes? Right, what am I going up to? Right,
I hope so.
Sarah tells
aspirin.
I'm going to have to make
would
myself
like some
a
aspirin, Adam.
What I shall do in a moment at 12:30, I shall start the dog's dinner, make myself a coffee, and then try and continue. And hope I can get on with the news, etc. Meanwhile, back to these notes. Sarah tells him that he needs a Smith on board, which I thought was quite ironic, considering the name of our current Doctor, the actor that plays him.
Yeah. The Doctor. Well, I was about to say we're missing one, except for the Doctor.
Yes. The Doctor agrees. Well, of course, the Doctor's pseudonym is Smith anyway. But the Doctor agrees that. But Smith does not. Rose does not seem very happy about the idea. The idea of having Mickey on board.
Yeah,
it's
I
your
think
fault.
That's a bit mean, don't you?
Pardon?
Supposed to be his girlfriend, and look at the way she's treating him.
Yeah.
I think that's really nice.
Yeah, my very beginning. Oh, dump her.
I thought that he'd already dumped her, because he was acting as if the Doctor was her new boyfriend, and the way he had his arm around the Doctor's shoulder earlier on in the episode, saying the missus and the ex. So I think Mickey's sort of come to terms with the fact that Rose is no longer his girlfriend, it's just a very... beloved friend. That's the opinion of I have on it anyway. Then this, I'm very close to the end of this, which I have been for the last 45 minutes. Then there is a lovely goodbye scene outside the TARDIS, and as it dematerializes, a brand new canine is revealed behind it. He replaced you with a brand new model. He does that.
He does that.
So there you go. At last, I'm at an end.
It wasn't the Mini Metro.
Go on, Ben.
That was a nice last scene, though.
It was a nice scene, and Ben is now going to say what he thinks of School Reunion by Toby Whithouse.
Yeah, it's all right.
I knew that would be the answer. I knew it.
That's exactly what Alicia would say. I liked it.
It was nice to see Sarah Jane Smith again. But I can let you know that this episode is almost exactly 6 years old.
Yes. Mm. Yes, I read that somewhere.
It was broadcast on the 29th of April, and recording date for this program is the 16th of April. Obviously, 2006, it was originally
transmitted, and now it's 2012, so just shy of 6 years.
Just shy. No, that's the last thing that could be described.
If you look at the canine at the very end, you can tell it is definitely a different one because the ears are different. The ears are much different.
Curse those ears.
And if you have a look, if you have a look carefully, after the TARDIS is dematerialized and Sarah Jane Smith has seen the new canine rolling away from its little place, which had been very well hidden behind the TARDIS.
Yeah.
Always look behind the TARDIS is my suggestion for anyone who sees a TARDIS. There'll always be something there. As canine started rolling towards Sarah Jane Smith, what you didn't see was a few little dollops of doggy canine poo, which had been deposited where it had been.
A few gears and some nuts
and bolts, yeah.
There's only little ball bearings.
Magic! Oh, for God's sake!
That is so fitting.
Disgusting animal.
I don't think it was fitting. I think it might have been shit.
Don't call Ben that, Adam.
Sorry, that's revolting.
So cool, Ben, there, Adam.
Anyway, not revolting. I'm talking about magic.
Yeah.
And it's funny you should say about broadcast on this day, because Aliens of London World War III was broadcast on this day in 2005.
Yes.
And it got 7.63 million viewers.
Can you believe that?
Are you one of the 6 million?
I'm going to have to let this dog out in a minute. Yes, magic. You don't sniff your own backside. It was you that did it.
Oh God!
Oh gosh!
Stars just flaked out.
Can you believe how fast time goes, though? I mean, considering how long ago that is now.
It's called getting old. Unfortunately, when you get old, the gaps between years seem to fly by even.
No, I mean, quicker. I just remember that the wilderness years in which we had nothing virtually, and then suddenly look, you know, 6 years ago.
Mm. Sorry, he's done another one.
Three doctors.
I mean, if you look at it, if you compare it with the classic era, obviously you could say roses are equivalent to unearthly child. We'd be sort of up to halfway through the Troughton era now, wouldn't we? Series 6.
Yeah.
Oh, my.
Toward the end, it's amazing, really.
Oh, my.
Gone past so quickly. He looks so proud of himself. Magic. Anyway, what did I get up to? News. That's what I was coming up
to. So,
Reese, you haven't said much. You haven't said much. You've got a mouthful of cake. What did you get for your birthday, and what did you think of this story?
I got Sanctuary Season 3 on DVD for my birthday, and tickets to go and see Ross Noble at the local theatre.
Excellent.
Lucky you.
Yes.
And what did you think of this episode?
I have to admit, the only thing that really kept me entertained by it was how David Tennant and Elizabeth Sladen interacted together. I first watched it when I was younger, and I enjoyed it.
I think the rapport is a word you were looking for, wasn't it?
Yeah, thank you for shortening my sentence there.
And Reese, can you also tell, because you didn't know much about Sarah before that, did you?
Surprisingly.
Or did you?
It was one of those things that you instantly know what the Daleks are, even if you hadn't seen Doctor Who before.
Yeah.
And I instantly knew who Sarah Jane was, even though I had never seen her before, just instinctively.
So what was it like, though, for you when you're watching?
It was a bit odd because I knew it was kind of a celebration of a returning companion, but I'd never seen her before, so I just kind of went with the flow to see what happened.
So you were already a Doctor Who fan by this stage, because Sandra was saying this was his first episode. No, it's the one that introduced him to Doctor Who, so you'd already got into the show.
I'd seen the Eccleston week.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
You've been listening to Second Choices again, haven't you, Reese?
I have.
I'm underwater.
Can Sandra? I ask everybody...
Yes.
What would you give this episode out of 10?
Out of 10?
10. Yes, I would.
13. I really like this episode. I'd probably give it about 8 or 9, to be honest. What do you think, Magic? Yes?
Yeah.
He's doing this major cute look now. He's lying on his side, and he's just rubbing his own nose with his paw. And looking really pleased with him. He's such a lovely little boy. He's so lovely. Yes, he is. Yeah. Oh, magic. Yeah. You're so beautiful, aren't you?
There's a microphone on, you know, Adam.
I know. He's being all lovey-dovey.
You're not talking to yourself, yeah, mate. There are at least seven people listening.
Anyway, right. Anybody else on this particular episode? Robert? No, not Robert. We could be here for hours. Kirby?
Yes.
What? Kirby? we've got a limited period of time left before you have to go, no doubt. What did you think of?
I've always said this is one of my absolute favorite episodes.
So a marks out of 10 then, as Sandro is asking.
10.
10, right, 10. Good, right. Sandro, marks out of 10. Kirby.
Sarah Jane is just
one of your favorite companions.
Yes, absolutely.
So, who's next? Sandro, marks out of 10.
Probably 9, 8.5.
Excellent.
The script was much better than Tooth and Claw, I found. And
friend of the show, Toby Whithouse.
Fast paced.
Mm. Unlike that sentence.
And, Ben, yeah, Ben, your prodigy is learning. Ben, I was just saying, you're Ben's prodigy in the comedy line. That you're learning from the master of comedy, Mr. Shen Bovler. I mean, Ben Shoveler.
Ross Noble.
Shut up. right. Marks out of 10, Ben?
Well, individually, I think David Tennant deserves a 9.
Yes.
Elizabeth Sladen probably gets an 8. K-9, probably 7. Anthony Head, 8.
I think you know that I was talking about the episode score reunion, not the individual elements of it.
I might do that.
God. Go on, Robert.
It was all right.
It was all right? Robert, marks out of 10. Let's see if he can do it. Marks out of 10 for this particular episode.
Oh, I'd say about a 9.
Cool. So it's fairly high marks then for school reunion.
Yeah.
Could I give my marks?
No.
I'll give it 23 out of 27.
Cool, yep. That's
I'll tell you what, though.
7 or 8. Yeah, go on in.
It would have been nice to have Elizabeth Sladen on a bit more with David Tennant.
But she did reappear.
In a Doctor Who episode.
Yes, but
I'm not talking about the Sarah Jane episode.
No, she was back with Doctor Who a bit later than that, wasn't she, if you remember. We'll come up to that.
It wasn't just her, but it was everyone else. But,
Yeah, that's what I mean. She was part of an ensemble. It would be nice, a bit like this.
Return to the ensemble for Catherine Tate's last sort of regular episode in the show. Now, Reese, marks out of 10.
Sorry, I'm listening to Sagarin's story as well. The show is being recorded.
You're listening to something else whilst you're recording?
Ben, somebody hold Ben back. Do we get the marks out of 10, or are we just talking about staggering stories?
No.
No, we'll go on.
Yes, we're just talking about staggering stories. I just reminded of the end of Firefly now.
Sound like a cow mooing.
I'm really hungry. Can we hurry up? I need some food.
That's what I'm attempting to do.
I'll give the ratings, and then you could go get your food.
That'd be nice. Come on, then.
So I'd probably give it a 7 out of 10, and that's because of the acting. I think the story was okay, but the acting really lifted it up, especially Anthony Head. He may not have been kind of bat-like like the other Krillitane, but in the pool scene, he was kind of holding himself a bit like a bat ready to take off, if you know what I mean.
Yes.
Mm. Fantastic acting.
Yes. Right, so I think that...
I don't watch it.
But that's excellent, sorry.
That'll sort of hopefully bring us to the end of this particular element part of the show. Thank you, everyone. All right, let's move on. It's news time. If I can get the news page up.
Adam, do you know what Doctor was named in Spanish?
No.
El Doctor Mysterio.
Thank you. All right. Production roundup. latest issue of Doctor Magazine reported the fourth episode of the series will be produced on its own, as Block 3 is to be directed by Douglas McKinnon, who previously filmed the Sontaran Stratagem / Poison Sky. Oh, that's my reminder to put the dog's dinner on. Thank you. Chris Chibnall is not generally very popular, a writer with some Doctor Who
Chris Chibnall.
He's a Torchwood writer, generally. But anyway, he's going to be writing some stuff. Also, there'll be that'll be followed by Block.
Hey, guess what? Kirby? I mean, not Kirby, Reese. Could yes. you share your birthday with Derek Sherwin? He's 76 today.
I'm going to put the dog's dinner on.
I also share it with Spike Milligan and Charlie Chaplin, too.
Yeah, that's the important part. Spike Milligan.
Sorry.
I share my birthday with Alice Cooper.
I thought you were going to say Alex Kingston for a second there. I got really excited.
I share my birthday with Walt Disney.
Ooh. Oh, that's pretty coincidental, considering
yeah,
your life.
So, I share my birthday with myself.
Good way to be.
No one else was born with you.
That's
I share my birthday
selfish.
With Alana Curry, who was in Tom
Curry.
So there you go.
I'm sure this is riveting for the podcast listeners.
And did you know that the Power of the Daleks, right. the reimagination of Power of the Daleks is out on YouTube now?
I saw that the link. I didn't follow the link.
I haven't looked at it yet.
I only saw it like 6 hours ago, and I had to sleep.
What?
Sort of.
That was me. I only had 5.5 hours sleep last night because I was watching Titanic stuff. On the various Titanic documentaries, etc.
Adam.
What?
Adam.
What?
Did you see the Titanic thing on ITV?
Yeah, I did, but I don't like the way they did it. I don't like the way they went back to the
see...
episode, every episode. It's confusing. But yes, did I see?
Was that her at the end?
Yes, it was her at the
end. Who climbed
into the...
climbed into the other... into the...
It was her at the end.
Right at the end, and yeah. there was dying. Was that her?
No, yeah, she was the Italian. Oh, be quiet! The Italian bloke that she was supposed to marry, and she sort of remember in the life. That was her.
That was
Jenna Louise Coleman.
That was Jenna Louise Coleman. Was it?
Yes.
All right, she was rubbish.
Built up to that.
Bed, don't spoil it for me. It's coming on Wednesday.
Don't
night.
Spoil it for you. It's
Is it
sung.
The Titanic. Sank, Christ, like everybody
I
knows.
I don't have to know that it
happens.
Jesus,
don't spoil it for me. anyway, right. So, Will Smith. Matt Smith has talked about his approach to choosing roles. Well, I don't really want to know about that because he's already chosen the role of the Doctor. It's not much news, is there? Profile and air dates guide to Australia. Oh God, has been added to Broad DW Cast website documenting foreign screenings.
Have you heard of that?
No, I'll have now. Yeah. Documenting foreign screenings of 20th century Doctor Who. And there's, I'll tell you what, talking about Karen Gillan. Karen, shush! Talking about Karen Gillan's joining Twitter, she has posted some lovely pictures on her Twitter account of her backstage and stuff.
Did you see where she complained that no one told her to turn off email notifications? And she had so many emails that people
Arthur
were following.
Was laughing about it.
Yes.
Good. That's Karen Gillan too, if you want to follow Karen on Twitter. Yes, there's some... They're in Manhattan filming her... for God's sake. I give up!
There's a difference between fun and stalking.
Magic!
Art again, magic!
Whoa, 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 it's magic.
They're filming her last scenes in Manhattan.
There are some pictures in today's edition of The Sun of Karen and Matt Smith and Arthur all walking around having fags and stuff.
Disgraceful.
Karen's wearing an elephant jumper.
Yes. Is that in America?
Not good to look in the sun.
Eh?
Well, just make sure... Make sure you're using some sort of reflective thing so you don't look straight into it. And then you can just look at the shadow.
You can see the sun stuff in abroad because you just go to the sun website. Surely you can see stuff to do in relation to... Hello! Hello, Sandro.
Hello. I have to go very soon.
I'm not surprised.
I can only apologise for the chaos that you've joined in on, Sandro.
Actually, yeah. It's very fun.
I have to say,
this is exactly what it's going to be for the other show that Reese has just joined.
Has it?
Which is another one.
Yes,
another one. What the hell?
I have to say, Sandra, they have been particularly badly behaved on this episode, and I'm going to have to blame...
No, we haven't.
Let's spin the blame wheel. It's going to fall on...
Ben!
Right, well, I'm leaving because of that, and I won't be here next week. Unless I'm working... Unless I'm doing the afternoon shift, in that case I will be.
Anyway, right. Where else we got on this news doodah? Lots of releases of.
Well, are we not going to say goodbye to Sandro?
Oh, sorry, Sandro. Sorry, I forgot. Sorry.
I've already gone in like 10 minutes or something.
Oh, yeah, we'll be done. Got to be done in 10 minutes anyway, because I've got to make the bed before my wife comes
home. I'll need to get off about 10 minutes from now, too.
Judging how long it takes us to say goodbye, we should start now.
Oh, that's it for news. There's nothing else on news.
All right, well, that's it for this week, everybody. Thanks for joining us.
That is a nice picture of Karen Gillan.
Oh, yeah, it is. It is.
It's in the sun.
Oh, not that one.
Where?
Kirby.
It's on the sun's website. I'll send you a link.
Sorry, I'm just typing in.
The episode being filmed in Manhattan is phenomenal.
Well, it will be. It's their last.
It?
Oh, apparently.
Damn, I thought you'd take that hint.
Does that count? But does that count as a spoiler? I think it probably does.
Thanks, Kirby.
If you want another microphone, then apparently River Song's in that episode as well.
Who is she?
Of course.
Yeah.
Can I have that link?
Alex Kingston was seen there filming.
Alex Kinky.
I wonder. River Song kills Ape Pond.
Damn.
Yeah, something like that.
That's
particular.
That will be.
Yeah. She's killed the doctor. Rory's died 53 times already. So
maybe she kills both of them.
Amy Pond will be,
I tell you what. Has anybody seen the doctor's wife with the audio commentary?
No.
It is. Neil Gaiman does an absolutely excellent job.
Okay.
If you can get a listen. Watch it with the audio commentary. It really adds a lot.
I'll have to get that. I have not got the.
He also addresses your problem about, you know, how you open to pull to open
the door.
Yeah. He says yes. He knows it refers to the phone bit, but he says yes, it can also refer to the other one. So
and but
so many times we've seen it. Open the other way too. It can open both ways.
Okay, moving on from that. I will be intrigued to see this. Moving on, thank you. In relation to the sun, is the picture you're talking about? The picture of her with Matt Smith on a pebbly beach. Is it that one?
No.
Here, I'll send you the link.
Okay, send me the link. There is another one of her with Matt Smith on Times Square. Who's gone?
Yes.
Okay, I see the picture.
Somebody went. Oh, it's a message. Hey, right. Who sent me a message? Oh, it's a link.
I did.
Thank you. Never mind. All right, moving on.
And scroll down, and my goodness, Karen Gillan should know better than to smoke cigarettes.
Sure. Doctor Who star.
It's a cool habit that makes you look good with the kids.
Doctor Who star. For God's sake. Be quiet. Doctor Who star Karen Gillan felt a bit of a twit after her email was flooded with almost 50,000 notifications of new followers after she joined social networks. But her phone immediately crashed as her handset was inundated with messages. A flame-haired beauty, 24, is currently in New York filming scenes for a last series of sci-fi hit Doctor Who. She wrote, "Hello, Twitter. Nice to meet you. Thanks to everyone for following me. This is really exciting. Oh, and by the way, we are in New York," she later added. "Someone could have told me to turn off my email notifications when I joined Twitter today, at Ratty Bart Burville, plus side, that many cyber friends." I'm just reading as it says. And her pal, Arthur Darville, 29, who plays her on-screen husband, Rory Williams, found the gaffe hilarious. That's a word the sun likes, isn't it, gaffe? He wrote online, so... Yes. At Karen Gillan 2 has not turned off her email notifications and her battery has died. Cue 50,000 emails. Today just got so much better. Karen, who will be replaced by Jenna Louise Coleman as the Doctor's sidekick, also treated fans to a pic of her and Matt, 29, in the States above. As I just mentioned. Last week she was seen in tears as she filmed the scenes that will show her final exit from the show in Wales. Is there another bit down here? No, that's it. Thank you. That was a Karen Gillan bit from The Sun Online. And where's this link you just told me about? Let's see if I can get to it.
Oh. Oh, there's a story here about how, because I don't think we've mentioned this more than twice so far, that Karen Gillan forgot to turn off her email notification.
Karen Gillan forgot to turn off her email.
We mentioned it. I'm not sure.
Well, I just thought.
Reese, did you hear about that?
Oh, like shut up. I just thought comment? I'd give put it in more detail. God's sake.
I don't think we needed much more detail other than the fact that she forgot to turn off her email notifications. The rest of the story, we could probably work out ourselves.
You pick it on me again? Not fair.
Not picking yes. on you. Aww,
Ben.
This is an episode I've
couple of us.
Right,
have
just for that.
In a couple of minutes.
That's it. So. Right, that's it for me. I'm going to have to play this now. I'm sure, here it is.
Has anyone got any more news? Because I've got to go and do stuff.
No. I've got some eBay stuff.
Oh,
yeah, I've got this to play.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Reese. Happy birthday to you.
Yes, I'm just looking
happy
at the pictures that you've
happy 14th birthday.
Very nice. Just a matter of interest, Sandro, how are you? How old are you?
I am 14.
14.
5.
It's going down.
1,000.
Yeah.
I am 980 years old.
I wish I
could
have been asked. Have you ever wished you hadn't asked a question?
Ears or cat ears?
Never mind, doesn't matter. Yes, right. Nearly coming to the end of the show, thank blimmin' God.
Oh, eBay.
I'm doing eBay now. Magic.
On there, they're all way too expensive. No one buys anything because it's all tax.
Well, you're going to have to do eBay without me.
Oh, you will dump us now after the hassles I've had to put up with today. Alicia, where's Alicia? Let's see if we can get her back on the show. Save my.
Excuse me, I may have to go as well.
Oh, as soon as I mention Alicia,
I'll make it happen. Look at this.
Yeah, fine.
There's Alicia.
But you're going to miss out on the most expensive item on eBay, which is a complete Doctor Who signed David Tennant, Matt Smith, Pertwee, etc., for £4,995.
What?
Oh, that's fine.
What penis is going to buy that?
I don't know. It's a lot of money, isn't it? Nobody has funny put any bids against it, but somebody has put bids against the £1,400 full-size bronze Dalek. I don't really think it's made of bronze, really, to be honest with you, but it's £1,400 with bids against it. Oh, I wish I had enough money to squander on things like that, really, do. And full-size... Hang on, what's this got to do with Doctor Who? Full-size electric wheelchair and skirt for a robot.
Great.
£300, one bid. Sorry?
An electric skirt.
Yeah, and finally, this is going to finally finish the show. This is fantastic. Ian Marta signed BBC card... Shut up. Ian Marta signed BBC fan card, original signature. One bid, £250. Somebody's paying £250 plus £2.50 postage for Ian Marta's signature on a picture of him. There you go. Done.
Well,
eBay. Done. The 20 megabyte podcast.
£2.50 postage for a postcard. What kind of mug would pay that?
Well, the word mug was in the sentence. You've answered your own question.
What?
Oh,
wow.
Seriously, indeed. Yes.
Have we said goodbye to Kirby and Sandro? Yes.
Sandro?
Yes.
Thank you for joining the show this week. It's been lovely having you on.
Okay.
And like
I've
said to other people that come on this show, we take no responsibility for any therapy you might require post the show.
Well, Adam does, but.
I'll send you some aspirin.
Yes. Reese!
The other thing, Sandro. Just before you go, Sandra, I do need to point out, mate, that obviously it is great fun, apparently it says here in inverted commas, taking part in this podcast, but you save a lot of time by just listening to it and not taking part in it.
I mean, not that I know that.
I mean, producing it takes longer. Anyway, we would have got to have Sandra. Yeah, Reese!
You're the kind of person who'd pay £4,000 for something on eBay.
Reese!
Adam!
Yes. Although you were ridiculously late, and I'll let you off this week.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Reese. Happy birthday to you.
And that was Happy Birthday, Reese by The Birthday Bunch. And notice you didn't get any of that from the staggering stories, I'd like to point out. And that cost me 79p. So that's my birthday present to you. And so thank you, Reese, for coming on the show eventually. Robert! Anyway, never mind, Robert. Kirby!
Yes.
Bye.
This is not very nice.
No, he said he had to go. Just thanks. Anyway, thank you, everybody. Bye. Ben, it's been lovely having you on.
My Audacity recording did not work. It failed in saving it.
So. Oh dear, never mind. All thank you, Kirby. Thank you, Sandro. Thank you, Reese. Thank you, Robert. And Ben, it's been lovely and surprise having you on the show. I haven't got a song for you. Although, I don't know.
All right, I'll see you next week, probably.
Anyway, I got it right. Bye.
Bye, Kirby.
Hang on. See you.
Bye, Sandro. I'll just sing if I've got a song that could be Ben's anthem. I don't think I have, actually. Oh, well.
No, really don't bother.
Happy birthday. Oh, no, wait.
I haven't actually got any songs by Michael Jackson.
To Ben.
Probably the best one would be Happy Bender.
No.
Happy Bender.
When I typed in Ben on my iPhone, it came up with Mary Had a Little Boy by Snap. Do you remember that tune?
He also had a duck. Put them on the mantelpiece to see if they would fall
this
off.
This one, actually.
Right.
That's Mary Had a Little Boy by Snap. Anyway, thanks, everyone. I've got to now go and cook the dog's dinner,
make
the bed, do some stuff for the weddings I've got to edit this show, have a rest, take some tablets.
Only some tablets.
Might be back next week, you never know. Bye.
Yes. Hey, bye, Pod Grammar. See you soon.
Bye-bye. Myself and everybody else who's listening.
Megabyte.to podcast is an APV service production, is a proud member of the Doctor Who Podcast Alliance. Doctor Who is the trademark of the BBC. No copyright infringement intended.